This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, the accredited speaker program designation is reserved for Toastmasters who combine subject mastery with professional speaking skills at the highest level of proficiency. Since the program started in 1981, there have been less than 100 who have earned the coveted title. At the International Convention this past August, one individual who was successfully added to the prestigious list and became the 89th. And we have the honor of speaking with him today. Ryan, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited. Who are we speaking with?
Yes, Greg, I am excited as well. We are speaking today with distinguished Toastmaster Forrest Tough. Forrest is the founder and CEO of One Vision Productions, an award-winning multimedia production and branding agency. Forrest is also a certified master life coach, a SCORE mentor, and now, as you said, Greg, the world's newest accredited speaker. Forrest was profiled in the January 2022 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. Mr. Forrest Tough, accredited speaker, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here, gentlemen.
Congratulations, Forrest. Can you bring us to that moment and tell us what it was like learning that you had earned the coveted accredited speaker designation?
You know, it's funny. When they told me you earned it, I sat there as if my screen froze. And they looked at me and they said, is he still here? Did he hear it? And then I just jumped up and said, yes. And I was just joking with them a little bit because I wanted them to feel that suspense, you know, that waiting on the edge. But it was such a tremendous moment to realize that all that hard work paid off.
Awesome. Forrest, what inspired you to start out on this journey toward accredited speaker to begin with?
Well, being a business owner now going on 18 years, I started to receive requests to come speak at different conferences. So in 2017, I realized I didn't have the skill set to effectively talk to different crowds. So when I joined Toastmasters, my goal was to pursue a professional speaking career. And I immediately found out about the accredited speaker designation. And I started my journey almost as soon as I started with Toastmasters.
Now, like many others, this was an encore run for you. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Yeah. So, you know, I did everything. The first level where we had to do up to a certain number of talks, I did about 50 talks that year. And they were all in person. Of course, we realized in 2019, everything was in person. I had my field. I had been in contest. I was ready to speak to a crowd, an international crowd, because the convention was going to be in Paris. And then we received the news, of course, March 2020, the pandemic hit. And I found out in May, hey, you qualify, but we may not have the conference. But then they said, you know what, we're going to do it. And we're going to do it in July. We're going to have you come and record a virtual presentation. I wasn't very familiar with virtual presentations, so I put one together because I didn't want to say no. I wanted to give it a shot. And that first year, I did not make it after giving my speech at the international convention.
What do you think it was?
I think it was a learning curve. I think not having an audience to feed off of, I think the things that you get used to as a speaker sometimes can be that crutch when you have to adjust. So for me, I think it was a part of the presentation material that I gave and also not being as keen as a virtual presenter.
Mm. Forrest, as I was looking at your website and seeing all the things that you've done, all of the accolades within film, within business, within speaking, I mean, the list just went on and on and on. But I know that it didn't all come easy to you. You're no stranger to adversity, I think it would be fair to say. And I wonder if you could share with us some of the struggles along the way, like including, I know you had aspirations to play in the NBA, the National Basketball Association.
Yes, I'll give you two instances. First, growing up, my first passion was sports. I lettered in three sports, football, basketball, and track. And I played basketball at a Division I college level. That was the highest level in sports before playing professionally. So I had aspirations to make it to play basketball for a living. And of course, we know that professional basketball players make good money. So it was something that I had invested a lot of my time in. As far as education, I did the grades. I had great grades, but I really didn't have something that I wanted to do. And due to a career-ending injury, that didn't happen. You know, I was put in the Hall of Fame of my school, but that was the end of it. So now I had to find out what I wanted in life. And that was the first adversity, is coming out of college, realizing I don't know what I want to do. I've spent the last 13 to 15 years investing so much in one thing, and now it's gone. So years later, when you find yourself now, you find a new passion. And in this event, I had an event that happened that nearly took my life, and having to recover from this situation and now continue to grow and still find the hope to persevere. Those are the type of things that I've had to experience in my lifetime. So those have been great examples of perseverance, or things that I've had to deal with, that made even pursuing the accredited speaker something that I could mentally manage.
Right. Man, so you just casually mentioned an event that nearly took your life. Can you tell us a little bit more about the circumstances? What actually happened there?
Yeah, so I was out at a facility with some friends. We were having a great time just celebrating. And there was an active shooter that came onto the scene and just started shooting into the building.
Wow.
And randomly, I found the bullet, or the bullet found me. It went through my back, barely missing my spine, my carotid artery, and came out right under my jawline. And it was just one of those things that happened in such an instant. And, you know, you always hear something like that that was so traumatic. But for me, it was just having something that traumatic happen in such a flash, and to actually recover and come through it was such a blessing. And it just made me want to live life to the fullest and, you know, leave nothing behind.
Wow. Forrest, were you aware that there was an active shooter by the time you got shot? Or was it just you're standing there 1 second and next second you're down?
Yeah. So, you know, people are running everywhere. You hear these shots ring out. And then I guess the security were trained not to let people go outside, because I believe the shooter was outside shooting into the facility.
Yeah.
With some high powered weapon. And so what happened is we're all crowded at the door and I feel it. Wow. And everybody looks around and they're running and I'm thinking, what just happened? And, you know, when you're that one person out of a crowd, it just seems so surreal. Like, I know that this didn't just happen to me, right? So yeah, it was just something that happened like in an instant. I couldn't have seen it coming because it came from behind. And, you know, it was just really one of those things that you just say, wow, if I make it through this, you know, I really want to give everything, leave nothing, right. Leave nothing here. Take nothing for granted. You know, here's the weird thing. I was in school for sports medicine. All right. Well, the first thing I thought about is, okay, I don't want to overexert myself and cause my, you know, everything to start going a little faster, blood pumping. So I sat down, I put pressure on my neck to constrict the flow. And I actually called 911 and I sat there and wow. It is the weirdest thing. When they gave the testimonial, I sat there on the step and just tried to calm myself down and constrict the blood flow from just running faster. That's exactly what I did. True story.
Well, it seems to me like you've really put a positive spin on it. You're looking at it as a aha moment rather than a moment of, oh, look what happened to me, and basically dwell on it for the rest of your life. It sounds like you looked at it as a positive thing.
Oh, yeah, I survived. I'm here. I was able to see my kids grow up and, you know, go to college. It's a positive thing to have survived, because in any other instance or situation, it could have been someone else and they may have not survived. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just grateful that how it happened, that I was able to survive that incident.
And we're very glad that you did.
Sure.
Now, obviously, it took some great skills to survive. And we're going to talk a little bit about skills, but not necessarily those that are perhaps life-threatening. Although for some people, speaking on a stage, they feel that there could be no worse things in life. Spinning to the article just for a moment, you mentioned in the article that you used your skills as a talk show host to help you get through your presentation. And I understand that was something that you acquired during COVID time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I had plans to start a talk show before the pandemic hit, and that derailed the plans a little bit. But after the accredited speaker presentation, I recognized, okay, there are some things I can do to become more comfortable as a virtual presenter. And I said, why not go ahead and do your talk show online? And so I got with my team, we scheduled interviews, I practiced looking into the camera, presenting myself, and I realized it was a different skill set as opposed to, you know, talking to a crowd of people. You know, you have the options to work the crowd, you know, the left, the right, the center, whereas now your crowd is right in that camera. Connecting with that audience is a skill set of a person that's doing a talk show or, you know, working with cameras where the audience of the camera. So I use that opportunity to help hone my craft to prepare for 2021.
Listening to you speak here today, Forrest, I mean, you're so clear and articulate and precise. It's hard to imagine you joining Toastmasters because of a perceived deficit in your presentation skills. It's really has me wondering, what has Toastmasters done for you as a speaker and as a leader as well? I mean, did you find the confidence or the skills or whatever it is that you thought you were lacking when you first began?
Here's what Toastmasters did for me. I had the ability to speak. I've been in sales before in jobs. I think it's understanding how to speak to certain crowds, how to craft a talk, how to know when to stop, different skills that you use with different crowds. That is the biggest thing that Toastmasters gave for me, and the ability to practice. You see, even though you might be a great orator or good at doing something, oftentimes you're not aware of your body gestures, your mannerisms. You know, there were times when I would talk, I may find myself rocking or swaying or having a nervous gesture. Being a part of Toastmasters, you're able to get those evaluations to help you see things that you may not be aware of. So for me, it really helped hone my presentation and actually gave me a place where I could talk to individuals on a consistent basis.
Yeah, those evaluations can certainly make a difference. Sometimes just a small observation from an individual, whether it's an experienced Toastmaster or it's someone who, or maybe even a brand new Toastmaster, can significantly make a difference in terms of how you present later on.
You're absolutely right. And I think going into Toastmasters, having that open mind, saying, I want to become better, I'm looking for evaluations to help me become better, can help you grow, I think, in an exponential level. If you really take the advice to heart and you really practice, it can really have wonders on your ability to become a better speaker.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we heard Verity Price, who was the most recent world champion of public speaking, talking about how she got global feedback in terms of finalizing her presentation.
Right.
Forrest, as you might know, Greg Van Borsum from Australia earned his accredited speaker in 2019. He was the 82nd accredited speaker. And he had shared with us that his mother introduced him to Toastmasters initially. I understand you have a similar story where your mother's words of wisdom led you to where you are today. Can you crack that open for us?
Yes. My mom grew up always being a part of speaking organizations that her mother told her about. And she would always reference Toastmasters. And I have to say this, my father has been a speaker for 40 years. He's in the capacity of a pastor of a church ministry. So she'd always reference Toastmasters, like, oh, that Toastmasters is so great. It's something she wanted to be a part of course. So when I started this journey, Toastmasters came to mind. And it was from her talking about Toastmasters over the years. So that's how I knew Toastmasters would be the organization that I would start with, from her references.
Excellent. Forrest, you gave an incredible presentation at the finale, the three steps of brand strategy. Could you perhaps share with the audience a little bit about your presentation and your intended message that you wanted to get across?
A little backstory. I'm in the multimedia business, branding, you know, video production, graphic design, web design. So in my line of work, we are working with companies all the time to help their brand, build their brand, get the word out. And so as I started to think about what was the most important thing that I've done or where my expertise was it was in that field. And I've also been a mentor, a business mentor with an organization called SCORE. It's a national organization. I've been a business mentor with them for 7 years, and I've had the opportunity to work with hundreds, if not in the thousands, of small business entrepreneurs or individuals looking to build their business or sustain their business. So that area is somewhere that I'm really versed in. I spend a lot of time helping companies or branding companies in that expertise area. So I thought to myself, what is something that works on an international scale? Companies start businesses all over the world. And really, that strategy is something every company needs to establish themselves. And then I thought about, I said, let me think of one of the biggest companies that, in the world that I can think of. And I thought of Amazon. And I said, will these strategies apply to Amazon? And when they did, I recognized this is what I need to talk about, because this conversation could resonate with mainly the majority of businesses throughout the world. And that's how I came up with my talk.
I love the fact that you created a presentation specifically for this particular audience, and rather than just something particular for your business that you're already giving.
Yeah, I thought it was important because I recognize this is Toastmasters International. We're talking to an international audience. So I want to find a topic that will resonate. And I think that's one of the things that I didn't touch on in 2020. If I would think about it, I said maybe I didn't have that in consideration in 2020. Because in 2021, I thought about, I'm talking to someone that doesn't look like me, that doesn't have the same experience or the same background. How can I make this message resonate to them? And that was the thought going in.
They looked like a little webcam.
Right. One of the parts of the presentation that really stood out to me, Forrest, is when you spoke about brand authenticity. And you described that there are both internal and external aspects involved with that. I have a follow-up I'd like to ask you about brand authenticity. But first, for our listeners who maybe haven't seen your presentation, can you just give a little bit of context and explain what those internal and external aspects are?
Yes. The external part of the branding is what people see, what you want them to see and know about your company. The internal branding are the things that keep the cogs going, the processes that show who you are, but in what light. You know, your vision, your mission, your business processes, your customer service, the things that really matter to the people you serve. So it's the external is the image that you portray, and the internal are the processes that help you display that external image.
Okay. And so when those two are aligned, the internal and the external, that's when a company or an organization has brand authenticity. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So here's my follow-up question to that, Forrest. I wonder if there are some examples of major brands that, in your opinion, really get this right. And then maybe on the flip side, if there are any perhaps brands that haven't quite hit the mark over the years that you might want to share those examples for our learning.
Well, I'll give you an example starting with Amazon, because I used Amazon, for instance. Their logo is a smile. You know, I think it's something like smile more, spend less, right? We all know we spend more on Amazon, but it feels great. It feels like we're getting savings as opposed to walking in that store, and we get to save not only the gas to drive to the store, but that extra dollar. So yes, we're spending less. And you know that feeling when the box comes to your door and you're like, oh yes, Amazon packages.
Dopamine.
And I thought to myself, this is amazing. But here's the even better part. I received a package that was torn and the contents were missing. I contacted Amazon and I said, hey, listen, this package didn't have it. They said, no problem. We'll refund it. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. The concept of what they did in terms of how they handle customers versus the buying process, they met. I didn't have a horrible customer service experience, but great shopping experience. And so to me, their brand really came alive because they stood, I smiled because when I got off the phone, I smiled. I said, wow, this is, Amazon did it. So if I could give you a great example, I have to use Amazon because they stand by their products, they have great customer service, and they make sure that they focus more on just the customer itself, as well as the process of buying. So that's a great example. Now, in terms of an example that does not work, I'll say this lightly because I don't want to take any company and say anything bad about them, but I have had experiences where the buying process was amazing. And then the process of having a return or getting something fixed, not so much, because it's hard, or maybe they don't have a customer service center. Maybe they just have an email customer service center. So the conversation or the ability to communicate with them is not as good as the buying process. So if that makes sense, because I think I'm not sure if I want to name a company. You know, I have had experiences, but I don't think I want to name a company that I've had a bad experience, because that's personal.
Understood.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that sounds like that's probably in keeping with your core values, isn't it, Forrest?
Yeah, it is.
Right. And that bridges nicely into my next question. Now, Forrest, in your presentation, you mentioned how businesses need to evolve, but their core values need to stay constant. And I know that you used the example of how you were in the video business, and that was before the smartphone. And now that everybody had a smartphone, you had to sort of shift a little bit. And I think this is really true more so now than ever before, right? In fact, I think there's a lot of companies on the verge of collapse. My question is, what do you say to clients who seem to abandon their core values and cite survival as a reason for doing so?
I think it's a very slippery slope. You know, you have to also gauge what are you gaining from it and what can be the potential outcome. Going out of business isn't the worst thing in the world. Lawsuits can actually happen, which could compound that going out of business. So for me, it's one of those things where I say either stick to what you know and find innovative ways to look at what you're doing. And I'll give you an example. One of the things that our company is doing is we've now, myself and team members, have become certified in diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace. We're looking at different things that can help add to our company. Because while customer service has been something that we focus on, this is another aspect that has become more important in the workplace that can help us to have different conversations. And the thing about business is people. That's how I always look at business. No matter how things get automated, we're in the business of people. People buy from people. And so when you find avenues to communicate, or you can talk with different groups, you can open up doors to find business. And that's how I've always looked at it. Now, it's not to say that there won't come a time that the doors may have to close, or you may not be able to survive based on your current business model. But I think before you go looking for ways to get over on customers or do anything to make the ends meet, I would suggest trying to find innovative ways to find revenue or avenues for your company to sustain, as opposed to just the service, because that really doesn't speak to just what we do, but it's creating avenues for us to meet new people that could create potential business.
That is certainly some sage advice. Wow, this has been an incredible conversation. I've really enjoyed this, learning, getting to meet you a little better, learning more about your presentation. Folks out there, if you really enjoyed this episode, I'm sure you have, please take an opportunity to share it with someone. Again, you can find this episode and along with all the other Toastmasters podcast episode at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere that you get your podcast feed. And don't forget to check out the January 2022, a new year, 2022 issue of the Toastmaster magazine, and read the profile on Forrest Tough.
Forrest, before we let you get back to your day and to your business, can you share with us how our listeners can get in touch with you, follow you, perhaps even book Forrest Tough to speak to their organization?
Yes, you can find me at ForrestTough.com. That's two R's, two T's, two F's, ForrestTough, toastmasters.com. From there, you can find any of my social media platforms or links to get in touch with me, book me for your next event, or just start the conversation.
Fantastic.
And we'll certainly put your contact information in the show notes.
Okay.
Forrest, we appreciate you coming on the show today. This has been great, and we wish you continued success.
Thanks, Forrest.
Thank you, guys. It's been my pleasure.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.